Back when I was in college, we caught Billy Joel. He had been in touring for a long time, and they kept adding tour dates and tour dates and tour dates and tour dates, and finally, the night we saw him was his last show. And he was just like, it's my last show. I'm going to have fun tonight. And it was probably the funnest, or definitely one of the funnest concerts I've ever been to, because he's like, there's no pretension. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. So it was Halloween, so he was singing the Monster Mash, and he was talking about growing up watching the Beatles, and so he's playing old Beatles tunes. He's just like, we're just going to roll with this. And I was thinking about that over the last couple of weeks, as this is my last message, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're just going to go with it. We all know each other well enough that it's like, this is who we are. And so what I want to do this morning is, rather than just take a long walk down memory lane and tell you all the stories, I'm just going to bring up a couple of Bible verses that mean a lot to me, and I just want to share those with you. And you're not going to be surprised by any of these. These are stuff that we've been talking about here for years. And the first one, you hear me say a lot. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I often start out worship with this verse because it is a way of reframing where we're at and coming back to getting reacquainted with where we're supposed to be. Think about it. If you don't know where you're at, directions just don't make sense. A year or so ago, I was driving around somewhere and my phone was messed up. And so where the GPS said I was like half a mile away from where I actually was. And I would look at it, I'm like, I am not driving through the park right now, okay? No, I am still not driving through the park. I am not driving through the river either. And it would drive me crazy. But we need to understand where we're coming from. Think about Genesis. Genesis starts out with God creating everything. God creating the universe, God creating this world, God creating all life. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we are created in God's own image. And as we do this, as we rediscover the story, as we're being reminded of it, we understand who we are. And we understand that God has made us. Now, you might be reading this, and you might be looking at this and thinking, rejoice? How am I supposed to rejoice? You don't know what I've got going on in my life. That's true, I don't. I don't know what you've got going on in your life. You don't know what's going on in mine, aside from the broad frame of things. We don't know what's happening with the people to our left and our right. We might know them, we might know some of the issues, but the reality is each of us has our own struggles, our own trials. And the beauty of reading through the Psalms is when you read through the whole book of Psalms, you get this stretch, this spectrum of human experience, of human emotion. You get everything from, this is the best day that has ever been made, and I will glorify God through everything, to, this is bad. When Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22, where David writes, I'm so alone and my enemies surround me, and this is the depth of my experience. I feel abandoned even by God. And so when Jesus was there on the cross, people around him would have heard him say that and recognized that he is echoing back to that experience written 1,000 years prior. And as we read through the Psalms, we get this. And the beautiful thing about the writer of the Psalms, when he wrote this, about this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, he's not saying that nothing bad ever happens. He's saying we need to start at the beginning. And we need to look at that. We need to go there first. One of the fun things about having kids is they remind you of all your verbal tics and all the phrases that you go back to. And I'll often say, it is a beautiful day, because in Southern California, it's pretty much always a beautiful day. And they will look at me and they will say, Dad, you always say that. Okay? And I say, well, is the world on fire? And they go, no. Because the world does burn for about 3 months out of 12 here. And I'll say, is the air so thick that you can cut it with a handsaw? And they're like, no. I say, then it's a beautiful day. Okay? But the reality is, when the author of the Psalms says this, when he says we rejoice, he's not saying everything's perfect out and it's a beautiful day and we're going to go to the beach later. What he's saying is understanding that we start from God having made this world. We are in the process of packing up the house right now. And you all know, you've all been through this at the point of packing up and pitching stuff and getting rid of things that you don't need. Okay? So we've been filling the trash and the recycling pretty much every week for like 8 weeks now. By the way, if anybody wants a recumbent exercise bike, just let me know. I will give it to you for free. I'm not joking on that. I bought it 5 years ago for $80. It's been great. So if you want it, catch me afterwards. Otherwise, it's going to the great gymnasium in the sky. Okay? Tomorrow morning. Got to catch me after worship. So, but as part of that, we're pitching all this stuff. And really what the author of Psalms is getting at is saying, look, hang on to what God is giving you. Hang on to that, not the sin, not the pain, not the sorrow. The Jesuits have this beautiful saying, what is this to eternity? And what they're getting at is that, look, the stuff of this world, the pain and the sorrows pass away. We leave that behind. Our relationship with God continues from this world to the next. And that beautiful relationship is what we hang on to. And so in that light, that's what we're able to say. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, interesting thing there is you'll notice it says us. Let us rejoice in that. That actually leads to the second point I want to make. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Christianity is a team sport. We're meant to do this in community. And this has been a wonderful 12 years for us as a family just because of being able to be in this community. I truly believe that one of the reasons that God made me a pastor is to hold me accountable for my own faith. To be able to spend time with you all and to be able to be spurred on by one another. There's this passage, there's all these other passages in Hebrews. It says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us spur each other on. We're together in this. And so we encourage each other. We develop these relationships and we hold each other accountable. It's fun just diving into the Bible with a congregation like this. I really enjoyed the pastor's Wednesday night Bible study over the years. It's fun, kind of funny because a couple of years ago we switched it to on a big round table, which I love because it's like then it's actually get questions and just to be able to engage with people. And there are people in this congregation who know this Bible as well as me. And it's been great just to walk through stuff with them and hear their thoughts on things or get those questions of like, you know, do you know this, or have you dealt with this, or what does this passage mean? Or a couple months ago when I was talking about the names of Jesus, and talking about Jesus' wonderful counselor, and somebody pointed out, you know, that echoes back to Samson, when the angel appears to Samson's parents, and they say, what's your name? And he says, it's too wonderful for you to know. And just those places to work through those passages together. One of the things I really love, and actually, let me just tell you this part of the story. Before I got here, you guys all know the stories about me being in Texas and me being in Toledo. I had never spent more than 2.5 years in a congregation. And so to come here, for me, it was a question for myself, like, can I actually last for the long haul here? And I got to admit, as I'd kind of hit those two-year landmarks, 2.5-year landmarks, 5-year landmarks, it's kind of like, I think it's actually going to work. And I have to say, it has been such a wonderful time of working with staff and council and Pastor Joe, of having those relationships, of being there for one another, and of working through those issues together. I am the pastor I am now because of the 12 years that I've spent with you all. It has been able to spend that time and discuss and work through and different ideas and different perspectives. it has been such a blessing for me, and I hope it's a blessing for all of you. The more effort and energy you put in on this, the more you get out. And I want to talk just for a minute of those of you who guys are here once a month, once every 8 weeks, once every 12 weeks. I want to really encourage you to step forward in your faith, to step forward in your relationship with the people around you. I know there's always commitments and work and everything else, but one of the things that has struck me over the last month is I've had a couple of people pull me aside and they say, you know, I used to be Christmas and Easter. I used to just come every twice a year. And it has changed my life over the last 2 years since I've been here every Sunday. And to hear those stories, it's just humbling because of how God works in those things. We as a community are meant to change this world. That's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. That's what God has called us to do. But it's as a community. Not as a collection of individuals, but knit together through what Jesus has done. This is one body united in Christ. And that is something we need to always come back to. For your sake. We'll get by without you. Don't want to. But for your sake, step up and continue to grow. Now, there's a fascinating passage I want to cover last, but I want to lay a little groundwork before I show it to you. There's a line, you know, to Jeremiah, you all know. Jeremiah 29:11. You see it every graduation season because you see it in every graduation card. Well, every Christian graduation card. It's Jeremiah 29, and God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not destroy you, plans for hope and a future." And it's a great verse, which is why it's on every Christian graduation card. I've gotten to the point where I hate that verse. That's not true. I hate the way it's used. Just reading something yesterday, and somebody was commenting, they don't hate Dave Matthews Band, they hate Dave Matthews Band fans. And I'm like, huh, never thought of that. Guess I can see where that was coming from. It's kind of like that. That's how I feel about the verse. I love the verse. I love that passage. But the way it gets used just drives me crazy. Because when God says that to the people of Israel, he's saying it in the midst of this passage where he's saying, yeah, you're going to be in exile for 80 years. You're being ripped out of your homeland. You're gone. Your kids are gone. Your grandkids will be the ones who will come back to the promised land. They'll love it. You'll be dead. Okay? Okay? Sorry. Okay? But it's this fascinating passage to mine because there's so much written in there. And in that passage, God says, Jeremiah 29:7, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Now, we all know I love to joke about being a Midwesterner, and all you've heard me make the comments about water is supposed to be in river, you know, rivers are supposed to have water in them, football's supposed to start at noon, you know, all that stuff. But I got to admit, I find this a challenging passage because there's some beautiful things about California. There's some things I really enjoy. We were just out at Vasquez Rocks yesterday, and I love that place so much, and it's so cool. And it's this beautiful day, and we're running around in short sleeves in the middle of January. But there are some things that drive me nuts about this state, okay? Okay? And I have this recurring joke with my wife, and it's like, this is Babylon, is it? And she's like, no, there was no In-N-Out Burger in Babylon. Okay, there's a point there. But they let you have plastic bags at the grocery store in Babylon. So it's kind of a wash. Okay? I tell you, every time I have to take the cans to the recycling place, I want to get out the torches and the pitchforks. Not advocating for armed revolution, but sometimes I think about it. Okay? But it's easy to get into this mode where we think We're in our congregation, we're in our family, we're in with our friends, and the city, we might not phrase it this way, but what we're saying is they can all go to hell. We can just let them be. And the temptation is, as Christians, to say, we're going to hunker down, we're going to create these bunker churches, and the city out there can do whatever that city wants to do. And especially in a place like Southern California where there's cultural headwinds and we think, well, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to engage in it. We've been burned. We've been vilified. We don't want to do that. But what God is saying to the people of Israel is saying, no, care for this city. You have been forcibly ripped out of your home by an invading army, planted in this city. Pray for them. Love them. Work with them. 700 years later, Paul is in the Roman Empire, and he's writing to the church in Rome, and he's saying, pray for the emperor, pray for the governors and the people in authority. And this is in the midst of the Roman Empire where they killed Christians for being Christian. We are called to engage with this culture. We are called to love these people. And sometimes, I'll admit, it's tough. Sometimes we feel like they don't want to be loved. But what we do as a congregation, what we do as a church, what we do as a faith, is we seek the welfare of these people. One of the things I have loved for the last 12 years is the way this congregation has done stuff like sack lunches for day laborers, working over at the homeless shelter, down at the Midnight Mission, and doing all those things that we do. Because God has called us to. And the reason we do that is because somebody loved us first. Somebody told us about who Jesus was and how Jesus died for our sins. Somebody cared for us enough to tell us how that Jesus rose from the grave so that we could have eternal life. And because they did that, we can be here on a Sunday morning at worship together. And because of that, we can share that with this community. You are here because somebody shared how Jesus died for your sins. We want to share that new life with the people around us. We are called, as Jesus said, to be salt and light in this world. It is not easy, but somebody did that for us, and we are called to do that for others. We're called to share and go forth. Friends, I don't know where this congregation is going to be in a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, but I know that God loves us, and God loves this community. And as you go forward, I want you to continue in that tradition. There's a photo around here somewhere. I've seen it, and now it's lost. I don't know where it is. But when they were breaking ground for this campus, not this building, but this campus, you could see all the way to Canyon Country as you were looking that way, because there wasn't anything built yet. But we were here when there was just onion fields. And we will be here, God willing, 100, 200 years from now. And the call is to be faithful and to share that love through whatever pastors come and go. Generations pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And for this chance to worship together. And most of all, for everything you've done for us, dying on the cross and giving us new life. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to this congregation. You would pour down your Spirit upon us. And that we would be faithful to the end of days. Amen.